are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Gilletto.
What up, what up?
What's up? We got a big show today.
Yeah, we do.
We had the NHL draft this weekend. We had the John Tavares situation on Sunday. The Flyers had a major signing. JVR, we'll get into that a little later on. And we'll get into all that. But first, I'm here to tell you that you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and lastwordonsports.com. Now, let's get right into it. The big news story is John Tavares.
Yes, across the NHL, yes, across that the is NHL. The big news story.
John Tavares signs a 7-year, $77 million contract to go home and play in Toronto.
Yep. Yeah, he left the aisle.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard this, but apparently San Jose was offering him 13.
Were they really?
13 million a year, as opposed to the 11 that he took in Toronto.
Yeah, I know he said he wanted to play. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying this is the LeBron James type move where he's going to win a championship, but I don't think it's that, because I think he just wanted to go play home. Like, you know how you, when you're a little kid, you know, you're out in the schoolyard or whatever, you're playing with your boys, you have the, you know, your hometown jersey on, where you just want to play for the home team. I feel like that's the kind of story this was.
Didn't LeBron literally say the phrase, "I'm going home," when he went back to Cleveland?
Well, no, it's about the Miami Heat, like when he left to go to Miami.
Yeah, then when he came back, right, he literally said, "I'm going home."
Right.
"And I'm going home to win a championship."
Right.
So it's the exact same thing.
Right. But no, I meant in the sense where, like, people think that he's ring chasing like LeBron did. Or like a Kevin Durant.
No, I think he's definitely not ring chasing. If he was ring chasing, he would have gone to Tampa.
Right, because Tampa.
How filthy would that team be, yeah, right? Or even San Jose. You know, you're out west, it's a little bit easier coming out of that Pacific division. But he went to Toronto. He took the hometown contract a little bit. You know, $2 million a year is big for them. That team is stacked.
Yeah, you got Matthews and Tavares down the middle. It's absurd.
Yep.
I mean, and
it's projected that Matthews is going to play 1C and Tavares is going to play 2C. You're paying $11 million a year for a 2C.
And they'll play a similar amount of ice time.
Think about that power play.
Yeah.
Tavares,
for sure.
Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and then Morgan Rielly.
It's insane.
That's an absurd first power play.
No, they're going to be very good.
Yeah, I mean, they have a tough division to get through. You got to get through Tampa. You got to get through Boston, who's still no slouch. It's no guarantee. It's not an easy... He's not going to a team in a weak division so they can crush the division, blow through the playoffs, and win the cup.
Yeah, and we've seen these type of signings backfire before.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot.
I mean, this could blow up in their face.
It could blow up in their face. And they have, you know, those same guys, that Marner, that Nylander, and, you know, Matthews.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Kadri gets traded soon.
I think he'll play there this year. They have a ton of cap space this year. They're not in cap trouble this year.
It wouldn't surprise me if one of Kadri, Nylander, or Marner get traded soon.
Yeah, they're not in cap trouble this year. They can play them all this year. The problem comes next summer when they have to sign them.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's when you start running into your RFA deals and your young guys come up for their first big contract. That's where they're going to run into trouble. And they're still paying Patrick Marleau for one more year after this, too. So
right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him either traded for nothing or bought out next summer.
Yeah, because, or he retires.
That would actually be ideal for them. I mean, unless they can trade him. But I don't think Patrick Marleau is a Leaf come 2019, 2020.
No.
He just can't afford it.
Yeah.
They're $11 million of their cap is now tied up for the next almost decade.
I know. But, hey, I mean, anytime you get a chance to land a guy like Tavares.
Oh, no, they had to take the shot. Yeah. And I honestly, I said it on last week's show, by the way. That was my prediction.
That was your prediction.
My prediction at the end of last week's show was Tavares to the Leafs.
For you loyal listeners that stuck around that long.
So you Toronto fans, I would just like to say you're welcome. I will accept Amazon gift cards as thank you.
DM us for his address and, you know.
No, just send me the code on Twitter at YWT Podcast or at K Collington.
Yep, there you go.
I will happily accept your thanks.
Because he got you John Tavares. Is what he's saying.
It was all
basically, yeah.
Johnny T listens to this podcast and he heard me say Leafs and went, you know what?
He was heavily influenced.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So you're welcome. And when you guys have a parade in... you know, 2 or 3 years time, because I don't think it's going to happen this year, to be honest. But when you guys have a parade in 2 or 3 years time, you can thank me.
Okay. Sure.
I don't think it's going to happen this year because you still have to get through Tampa.
Yeah. I mean,
and then after you get through Tampa.
Once you get in the playoffs, anything could happen. So
well, sure.
You could bounce in the first round or go to the finals and make a magic, you know, magical story like Vegas did. But
speaking of Vegas.
Yes.
James Neal is gone.
Correct.
They signed somebody. Who did they sign?
They signed somebody Stastny.
Big. Yeah, they signed Paul Stastny. Yep. That's a good replacement for a James Neal type of guy. It
yeah, I mean,
helps their depth
center.
Down the middle.
Yeah, he'll probably play second line center, probably. Yeah,
they're not getting worse this offseason.
No, not at all.
And they're still a strong contender for a Carlson.
Yeah.
Like, Ottawa's got to be on the phone with them.
Right. No, they signed Paul Stastny to 3 years, $19.5 million.
That's a good deal. Six and a half-ish per. That's a really good deal out of Vegas.
Yeah, they also signed Nick Holden, who played...
Yeah.
Where did he play last year?
He's
Rangers,
depth.
Maybe? Oh,
he's
yeah,
a depth
but he's
flyer.
A depth defenseman, 2 years, about $4.5 million.
Yeah, listen, as long as Marc-Andre Fleury is in top shape, they're going to be a good team. You know, I don't know if you're going to get the magical run that you got out of your William Carlsons and, you know, all your young prove-it players this year, but if they all play like they did this year, then that team's got just as much of a chance to win the West again next year.
Right.
And that'll actually transition us. They opened their season against the Flyers. The schedule came out this past week, too.
Yes, it did.
It was a huge week.
Yeah, it was. Big week.
The schedule came out, and it was announced that the Flyers are playing in Vegas for Vegas' home opener. It is the Flyers' season opener.
They play Vegas twice in the first 2 weeks.
And then they're done.
And then they're done.
So we get to watch the banner go up.
Yeah, it's going to be a little hurt. You know,
yeah, it's going to hurt.
It's going to sting a little bit.
It's going to sting real bad. Yeah. But that will also mark the Flyers' regular season re-debut of James Van Riemsdyk.
Yes.
Now, if you guys missed it, the Flyers signed him on Sunday to a 7-year, $35 million deal.
5 years.
Or 5 years. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's 5 years at $7
million. Correct.
Not 7 years at $5 million. Right. I'm sorry. 5 years, $7 million a year. He becomes the third highest paid Flyer behind Claude and Jake.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the top free agents in this class.
Yeah, no, he was widely considered the second best free agent by a lot of people.
And I'd be curious to see what other offers he got, because it wouldn't surprise me if he got something north of that.
So you think we're getting a little bit of a discount on him?
Maybe. I know he's close to Voracek and Giroux.
I think he wanted 5 years.
Yeah, and he's 29 years old.
I think term was big for him, because this is probably his last big contract.
Yeah, probably. You would think.
Fun fact. You would think. Fun fact. If he retires at some point during this run with the Flyers, Flyers will be the only team he ever signed a contract for.
Is that...
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he was 1 year into his extension that just finished when the Flyers traded him for Luke Shen.
Yep.
That trade looks bad.
Yeah, Luke Shen just signed with somebody. Where did he? Oh, Anaheim. Luke Shen just signed for. So there you
Congratulations,
go.
Anaheim. You have a
there
moderate seventh defenseman. Chicago did us a favor and signed Brandon Manning.
They did. $4.5 million.
The New York Islanders signed Val Filppula
and Leo Komarov. Yeah. So they lose John Tavares and they gain Filppula and Komarov.
Perfect. They're going to, yeah, sorry, Isles fans. It's going to be a tough pill to swallow. You better hope Matt Barzal blows the doors off again.
I mean, he has to be their first line center now, right?
He's got
to
be. Like You would think.
That's like the third time we've done that this episode. We're like 15 minutes in.
Hey, the branding of this show is very important.
That is true.
We have to say you would think.
We're not even 15 minutes in.
Like I said, it's a big show. We got a lot to talk about.
But yeah, right.
But yeah, so the NHL is going to look different this year.
It is.
The Flyers are going to look different this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Your top six is probably going to look something like Claude Giroux, Sean Couturier, Travis Konecny, with your second line being JVR, Nolan Patrick, Jake Voracek.
It's not bad.
And then your third line, your wingers. Now, the center spot's a little up for grabs, but the wingers are Lindblom and Simmons at the moment. Unless Simmons gets traded.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wayne Simmons is too good to be a third line winger.
When he's healthy,
right.
He has to be.
If your third line come October is Lindblom, Lawton, Simmons, or whoever your third is.
I just think the only thing holding this team back is going to be goaltending.
I agree.
I mean.
But if that's your third unit, that's one of the better third units in the NHL.
Yeah.
And the Flyers haven't had that kind of depth for a long time.
Right.
When's the last time the Flyers' third line was good?
I know.
And then your fourth line is probably going to have Michael Raffel, Jordan Wheel, and like a Mike Vecchione type
or Vorobiev,
or, you know, somebody along those lines coming up out of Lehigh Valley, because I don't think Morgan Frost is going to come up.
I don't think so.
I think he needs some AHL time. And I like Morgan Frost.
But like I said, oh, I do too. I mean, he looks like a really, really good prospect.
But I think he needs some development time.
But like I said, the goaltending, I think, still an issue. They officially moved on from Peter Mrazek. He signed a 1-year contract with the Carolina Hurricanes. So.
Yeah. And speaking of Hurricanes goalies, Cam Ward signed a 1-year deal with the Chicago Blackhawks.
He did.
I don't know how he keeps playing this magic trick of convincing people to give him money, but
well, Cam Ward is not good. Well, no, he's going $3 million for 1 year, but he's going to be a backup, and he knows that.
By the way, you want to hear my sleeper pick for the Flyers' fourth line center this year?
Who's that?
Cole Bardrow.
Really?
Yep. He's done.
I don't like it.
Why?
What do you? What do you know?
Why?
He
was close to making the team two years ago.
That scares me.
And he got hurt in camp.
And I think it scares me that he was that close to making the team. I don't think he's good enough talent wise. Like, I could see it because I think he's on the same level of.
I think he's as good as like a Lawton.
Or.
I think he's got his potential to be as good as Lawton.
He reminds me of a Chris Vandeveld, and I don't want a Chris Vandeveld in the lineup.
But if your forward core is as strong as the Flyers' forward core looks like it's going to be this year, you can afford one Cole Bardrow, one Chris Vandeveld.
Maybe.
11 out of 12 ain't bad. If your fourth line is Raffel, Bardrow, Wheel, that's fine.
Right.
Right? As long as Cole Bardrow is not playing second line center, you're in good shape. You can afford one decent, you know, mediocre fourth liner. Right? He's only going to get 12 minutes a game, you know, 8, 10, 12 minutes a game anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't really hurt you. But the Flyers have a lot of potential this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think they could definitely fight for a division spot.
And there's always the chance, and I don't think it should happen. I think patience should still rule the day here. There's always a chance Carter Hart makes the team.
I don't know if he's going to make the team. I think if you see him, I think it'll be halfway through the year.
See, but then you have to send somebody down and put him through waivers.
Yeah.
Right? So, well, that's the thing. You can actually afford to do that, right? Okay, let's say the Flyers start the season with Mraz or with Elliott and Neuwirth. One of them is going to get hurt because they always do.
They always do.
Right. You know,
Neuwirth's a lock to get hurt.
Right. Probably his first game. You have three decent goalies in Lehigh Valley. You have Carter Hart. You have Alex Lyon, who deserves to be in the conversation. I think he earned it last year. He deserves to be in the conversation.
I agree.
And then you have Anthony Stolarz, who's still coming back from injury, still kind of has to prove himself. But you're going to have three good goalies in Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
So Neuwirth gets hurt. Stolarz is probably the first call up if he's healthy.
No, I think Lyon would be.
You think it's Lyon?
Yeah. Okay. I think Lyon's better right now. Stolarz just, I don't know. I'm not sold on him after that injury.
So then Neuwirth gets hurt. Lyon comes up. So your Flyers goaltending tandem is Elliott Lyon, and your Phantoms goaltending tandem is Hart Stolarz. If Elliott also gets hurt, I see Hart jumping over Lyon in the backup role and just taking over the starter spot while both of the main goalies are out. Yeah, because if you're going to bring him up, you might as well put him in.
Right.
He is absolutely useless sitting on the bench in a baseball cap.
Right.
If he's going to be up on the roster wearing a Flyers jersey two games, I want him in the net.
I hear you. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No, and I think if he plays well enough at that point,
I think he's
his crease.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the top goaltending prospects in the league, so
I don't want to rush him because I don't want to ruin him.
Yeah, because goalies are insane.
But if he's if he steps in for an injured goalie and plays well, it's his crease for the next decade.
Right.
Toss him the keys and tell everyone else to get out of the way.
It was the same situation with Matt Murray in Pittsburgh.
Right, exactly.
I know Murray had, I think,
Murray
one.
Wasn't going to get a shot until Marc-Andre Fleury got hurt.
Yeah, I think it was a little different because I think, what's his name, Murray had a year or two in the AHL before he came
up. He was around.
But
he also
similar
didn't,
situation.
He also didn't win goaltender of the year in the WHL three times in a row.
Right.
Right? I don't know. Like, I want this kid to be good, and it scares me that they're going to rush him, but I don't think they will. And if I trust anybody in the world to develop a goaltender, it's Ron Hextall.
It's a goaltender.
Thanks, Mike. Is he really? I didn't know that. I only thought he was a general manager. Yes, Mike. All right. So overall, I think JVR adds a lot to this team.
I agree. I mean, he's coming off a career 36 goals last year. I believe he had 35 or 36.
Right. So over the last five seasons, there was one season where he missed some games because he was hurt. None of the other five did he score less than 27 goals.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. 27 or more goals in four out of the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And all four of the seasons that he played full seasons. That's the kind of scoring the Flyers needed this year.
They need a score.
They did. Like, and you and I talked about it in January before the trade deadline. The Flyers needed to add a sniper.
Yep.
Right? Someone who could put the puck in the net. Because Wayne Simmons just wasn't doing it this year.
And Wayne Simmons has never been a sniper. Like,
he scored a bunch of goals the season before last.
Yeah, most on the power play. I mean, right. you could get 30 out of him easily. I mean, I know he didn't have it last year because he was hurt all season. Right. But you could get 30 out of him easily. But it's not a sniping role.
JVR has 25, 30 goals in his sleep.
Right.
That's just his career norm since he went to Toronto.
Right. And if you have people like Nolan Patrick or Voracek. Or one of these guys that are
exactly we get to watch
playmakers.
We get to watch Jake Voracek set up JVR all year.
Yeah, that's what you need, a playmaker to a sniper, and that's exactly what we have now.
Think about this. Your first overtime unit is probably Coots, Claude, and Ghost.
Yeah.
Your second unit is probably Nolan, JVR, and Provorov.
Yeah, I would agree.
Your third unit is whoever's playing 3C, probably Lawton. Jake or Travis Konecny, and then insert defenseman Sanheim or whoever.
Right.
You could put Jake Voracek. You're just gonna have stud.
Yeah.
Power. You're just gonna have stud 3-on-3 units all year.
Yep.
You can rotate four or five units in, four or five wingers to play with your centers. It's outrageous.
Yeah. So back
Flyers are gonna be a dangerous team.
Back in 14-15, in 82 games, he had 27 goals.
Yep.
15-16, he only played 40 games. That was the year that you said he was hurt.
Yeah.
40 games, 14 goals, which is still pretty good in 40 games.
Yeah. If you double that for the full season, that's 28 goals.
Right.
He's still on pace.
Right. And then 16-17, in 82, he had 29 goals. 17-18, career high, 81 games, 36 goals.
36 goals.
Yep.
When's the last time the Flyers had a 40 goal scorer?
The last time
Was it the year Claude was a Hart candidate?
No, I don't think so because he didn't put up.
He
40
loaded
this,
up on assists.
He
that
didn't
year.
Put up 40 this year, and he had a career high in goals.
No, he had a bunch
career
of
high
in
goals this year. I don't remember the last time the Flyers had a 40 goal scorer.
Right. So JVR adds that threat. Now I'm not saying he's going to do it, obviously, because it depends on the team he's playing around. But the potential is there, and like the last Flyers 40 goal scorer might be Lindros. Or LeClaire in that early 2000s. It might have been Gagne. It was probably Gagne, if I had to guess. But either way, James Van Riemsdyk adds that dimension to this team. And that's
the last
what this
time
team
somebody
needed.
Had 40 goals was back in 08-09. He had 46.
Wait, let me guess. 08-09. Was it Jeff Carter?
It was Jeff Carter.
Jeff Carter. Look at that.
46 goals in 08-09.
Wow. Wow. And that was the year before the Cup run.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. So. 10 years ago.
Yeah. And for the first time, really, since Jeff Carter, the Flyers have a sniper.
Yep.
Or a guy who can snipe. He can also play a big, heavy, physical role. He's not a small dude, JVR.
No, not at all. He's willing to go into the corners. He's willing to battle. He's willing to play
that,
along the wall.
He can play that net front spot on the power play that Wayne Simmons has done so well for the last 5 years. He can deflect shots from the point in on the power play. He can make room in front of the net. James Van Riemsdyk is going to be a huge part of this team. And there's a lot of flack for this deal because it's a little on the long side and a little on the expensive side. I love this deal.
I love it a lot.
I love this deal. And this deal is perfect.
It's not like you're giving a 34 or 35-year-old a five-year deal. Like, he's only 29 years old.
Exactly. He's 29. When the contract ends, he'll be 34.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing at all wrong with that.
And you have a ton of cap space, so it's not like you're going to be cap strung.
Right. Even if you regret this contract for the last year or two, it's worth it for three great years.
Right.
If you're getting three great years out of a JVR, and then when he turns 33, he starts slowing down a little bit, like players tend to do, unless they're named Jaromir Jagr, that's fine. Because it's only two more years. You can buy him out. Depending on what the team needs at that point. But as of right now, the Flyers still have $14.5 million in cap space.
Yeah.
Even after signing JVR. this team is going to be really good.
Yeah.
This team is going to be really good.
For sure.
Like, I would love to trade Andrew McDonald for a bag of pucks, but that's not going to happen.
No.
But if your defenseman continues to develop, right, if Robert Hagg shows up at camp better than he left last year, if Travis Sanheim shows up at camp better than he left last year, God forbid Ivan Provorov shows up at camp better than he was last year.
I think he could.
I think he could, too. That's what I'm saying.
I know. I think Provorov wasn't great last year. No. Like, he was very good. Wasn't great.
These players are still growing. That's what I'm saying. If Hagg shows up better, if Sanheim shows up better, if Provorov shows up better, which is less likely, but it's a possibility, Ghost is probably just about his ceiling.
Yeah, there's no way Ghost gets better. If he does, right, like, something's up.
That, as far as I'm concerned, that's your top four next year, by the way. Provorov, Ghost, Hagg, Sanheim. Okay. And then your bottom pair is Gudas and McDonald.
Yeah. Or Myers might slide
in. It's going to be McDonald, and we both know it.
I don't know.
If Myers gets in the lineup, it's over Gudas.
You think so? I think he'll be over Hagg, but... I'm not too sold on Hagg.
I know. We've talked about this a lot. No. But they're going to let Robert Hagg continue to develop. They want a guy. No, he'll take the place of Gudas. Myers will. Because Hagg can still be the guy in the lineup who provides the physicality that Gudas does. You forget, he led the NHL in hits for a long time last year.
Sure.
Until he got scratched down the stretch for no reason.
He's not a great hockey player.
He led. Why? Why do you say that?
Because he's not.
Oh.
He's not. He's
is
not,
that it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
That's it. End conversation.
Good talk.
End of podcast.
Oh, good talk.
He's not a great skater. Sure, he can bang the body around, but, like, that's not all hockey is. He's not a good skater. He doesn't have a... He's got an okay shot, not a great one. He's not that fast.
Early in the season, he was good for one or two mistakes a game. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
One or two big mistakes a game. Towards the end of the season, he started shoring that up. Now, yeah, he would still slip sometimes. It was his first full NHL season. I'm willing to give the kid a little bit of a break on that. If he can shore up those gaps, I think he's going to be a very good defenseman for this team.
Even
if he's top six, right? Even if he's not a future top four like I think he is, I think if he's your fifth or sixth defenseman, I think he's a great fifth or sixth defenseman.
Maybe. He just doesn't have the raw skill set that is required to have in today's
NHL.
No,
he doesn't have the offensive pop.
Not saying you need offensive pop.
That doesn't mean he doesn't have the skill set. Right, no, I'm disagreeing with you based solely on that metric. I think he has the skill set. I think it's harder to see because it doesn't manifest itself in goals or assists.
I don't know. I don't have the Corsi numbers in front of me, so I can't really...
About the Corsi numbers? Nobody cares about the Corsi numbers.
It was a joke.
I know. Okay. Brandon Saad is crying somewhere because he's the best NHL player in Corsi. He should have been a Hart candidate.
He should have been.
Anyway.
He was traded for Artemi Panarin.
Speaking of, Panarin's on the block.
He is.
If the right move comes along, okay, what's the most you'd be willing to pay for a guy like Panarin?
All right, so you're gonna have to pay Panarin, because that's what this whole thing is for.
He doesn't want to stay in Columbus, because why on earth would you want to stay in Columbus?
Yeah.
Sorry, Ben.
Wow, taking shots.
Hey, so LeBron left Ohio. Artemi wants to leave Ohio.
What would it take? Like, I would give up a guy like...
Nobody wants to play for the Browns.
I would give up a guy like Sanheim. Like, I don't know if it would cost more than that.
I think it would cost more than that.
You think so? Sanheim in a first?
You also have to be careful with overpaying, because it is in division.
Sure.
And you're probably not going to get Panarin from them simply because you're in division.
Maybe.
Right? That phone call probably doesn't happen. Because if Columbus thinks they're a playoff competing team this year, you're not going to ship Artemi Panarin, a very good, young, absolute stud, to a division rival. You're just not going to do it.
Would you trade, just straight up, one for one, Artemi Panarin for Jake Voracek?
I think I would. I don't think Columbus would.
You don't think they would?
I don't think Columbus would. My problem with Jake, I like Jake a lot. I know your dad doesn't. We've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
He He thinks Jake
he's a turnover machine.
Right, he thinks Jake is pretty irresponsible in the defensive end.
I mean, in the offensive end, right. Anywhere on the ice.
And that's fair. I like Jake. I think he's a good second liner. He's better on the second line than he was on the first line.
Yeah, but the problem is he's getting paid like a first
Let me finish. Yes. The problem is his contract.
Yeah.
He's got, what, 5 years left at like 8.6?
8.25.
Yeah. And for how many more years?
Till 2024.
Yeah. So 6 more years?
Yeah.
At 8.3, essentially?
Yep.
That's too much.
Yeah.
If he was making 6, if he was making 6, even 6.5 or 7, if he was making JVR money, all right, that's one thing. But that's a lot of money.
It is. For a second line player, I mean, he's getting paid like a first.
People are talking about the JVR contract being a little too long. Jake is signed for another year beyond that.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like Jake, and I think he's a really, really good second liner. I also think that towards the end of that contract, the Flyers are going to try to trade him.
Maybe.
Like
I could see it.
Unless he's ready to retire, which I don't think he is. He's 27, 28.
He's 28, yeah.
He's a little bit on the young side. So at the end of that contract, he'll still be 34. He might retire at the end of that contract. But I don't think he'll be a Flyer for that whole contract.
You don't think so?
No. I think they'll either buy him out or trade him towards the end. Because if he slows down at all, he doesn't have the defensive responsibility to make up for it. Right? Like a guy like Jágr, he came back and he knew that he had lost a step offensively. He knew that he wasn't 1994 Pittsburgh Penguin, sure, mullet-wearing Jaromír Jágr. So he stepped up his defensive game and played a good, solid two-way hockey. Jake doesn't have that. He doesn't have that gear. So I think this contract could look really, really bad in about 2022.
Yeah.
And I
just, he's just not that like worth that much. Like even
right
now.
I
mean,
I don't disagree with you, but you're not going to trade him now.
No.
You can't trade that contract for at least the next 2 years. It's just got too much time left on it.
Yeah.
And if other teams see the same shortcomings that you do, which obviously they do, it's their job.
Right.
If other teams see the same shortcomings that you do, nobody's going to take that deal.
Right.
You're going to have to package something with him to get that kind of deal moved.
Yeah,
and
maybe
that's not where the Flyers are at. Now, maybe in 3 years, when he's 31, still has some juice left in the tank, you can trade him to a young, up-and-coming team that has a ton of cap space. Kind of like the Maple Leafs do this year.
Right.
Right? A team with a ton of cap space. Or they had a ton of cap space before they signed Tavares.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying. A situation like that where a team has a ton of cap space and is looking to add a top-tier scorer or playmaker or
right
an offensive threat, maybe you can flip Jake's contract at that point and get a good young asset back. But in the meantime, you're stuck with that contract. And again, I like Jake. He had a good year last year.
He had a very good year.
If he comes back this year, if that second line, if they all have 80 points and the top line all has 90 points, which I think is a real possibility, by the way, I think this team is going to be a big threat offensively.
Right.
If that's the case, great. Jake earned his money. But if Jake has another disappointing season, that contract looks bad.
Yeah.
If he has 60, 65 points, you're overpaying him at that
point. Of course.
Now, if he has 80 to 85 points, that contract's fine. Right?
Right.
It's a little on the high side, but it's acceptable. If he's down in the 60s, or God forbid they drop him to the third line, you know, if Wayne Simmons comes back strong this year and moves up to the second, you're overpaying Jake.
I don't know if you're going to see Simmons in the future. I mean, his contract's up after this year, right? Coming up. So
yeah, I think he. I don't think he makes it to training camp.
What do you, the year after?
I think
that?
I think they trade him. No. This year.
Oh, you don't think he's okay?
I think they're trying to extend him.
I don't know.
Well, they've already said that they're trying to extend him.
If Ron's, I was him, I wouldn't take an extension.
Ron's come out and said that he wants an extension.
Yeah, Ron does. But
if you're gonna extend Wayne Simmons, now is the time to do it because you know what a bad year he had last year.
That's why I wouldn't do it if I was Wayne Simmons.
Exactly. And I think if 2 or 3 weeks go by and the Flyers realize they're not gaining any ground on an extension, I think they'll start to look to flip them.
Maybe. I think there was a chance that they were probably chopping them at the draft.
I absolutely think there was. And
there probably just wasn't anything available.
Right. And Ron came out after the draft and said that the phones are pretty quiet.
I think they said they tried to trade up, but they couldn't.
They tried to trade.
He was disappointed with
that. He said that he had a couple of deals in mind, and he would call, and there was just no interest in making moves.
Really?
The draft was very quiet this year.
It was. Aside from, like, day two. With
the Carolina, the Dougie Hamilton trade. But, yeah, so I don't know if the trade market – I think people were hesitant at the draft because every team thought they were in the John Tavares sweepstakes.
Yeah.
So now that John Tavares is wrapped up, now you call San Jose. Now you call Vegas. Now you call Dallas. Now you call Tampa. Teams that were in the Tavares sweepstakes, now you call them and ask them if they're interested in Wayne Simmons.
Right.
Because they have a little bit of extra money set aside. Wayne Simmons isn't even making that much.
No, he's not.
I think you talk to... okay. I don't think Tampa would do this. Would you do Wayne Simmons for Braden Point?
Yes.
I don't think Tampa would.
They wouldn't. Braden Point's like 21, 22 years old. Still on his entry-level deal.
What if it's Wayne Simmons and Philippe Myers for Braden Point? It's pretty close.
Yeah, I'd do it.
Because Braden Point can step right in and play 3C now. Very good 3C. Yeah.
Oh, he'd be a terrific third line center. I mean, I think he's a second line center.
I agree, but
I think he's still a good second line center. Like,
yeah.
If he was a first line center on a team, I don't think they would be in bad shape.
He's on the level of like where Nolan Patrick was last year.
Right.
Now, I expect Nolan Patrick to go beyond Braden Point's ceiling. But literally based on how they played this past season, they would both be swappable at 2C. And the fact that I think Nolan Patrick's going to take a step forward this offseason and come back even stronger, Braden Point's a good 3C.
Right.
So Wayne Simmons and Philippe Myers for Braden Point. Do you do that deal?
Yes.
Do you think Tampa does that deal?
I don't know.
Philippe Myers is a good young defensive prospect. He is. I think he probably makes their top six.
I mean, they have Hedman,
Sergachev, and then some mediocre players. Like Tampa's defensive core is okay. It's a little top heavy. Philippe Myers probably cracks that top six. Imagine that. Imagine putting Wayne Simmons on that first line. Your first line is Kucherov, Stamkos, Simmons. Now they might not want to top load it like that. They might want to spread the wealth a little bit. But that's deadly. You put Wayne Simmons in front of the net on that power play.
Right.
That's deadly.
Now
I would make that deal in a heartbeat. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I would.
And I think Tampa would consider it.
I would want, and I don't even think it's realistic, but I would want a similar package
Ryan O'Reilly?
Yeah, the Ryan O'Reilly deal that Buffalo got. I mean, probably
that's not
going to
happen.
But like Ryan O'Reilly's making $7.5 million for like 5 years. I don't think he's worth that much. And they got, who they get? Vladimir Sobotka, Patrick Berglund, Tage Thompson, who's a terrific center prospect.
Yeah.
Along with a 2019 first round pick and a 2021 second round pick.
Yeah, Buffalo is poised to be really, really good in 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like they're going to be better this year than they were last year, simply because you add Rasmus Dahlin and you're better.
Yeah.
Jack Eichel has another year to grow.
Tage Thompson could go in and step in as a second line center this year.
Yeah, I think that's Casey Mittelstadt's spot.
Okay, yeah, maybe
Casey Mittelstadt's going to make the team this
Thompson
year.
Maybe Thompson is a third line center.
Buffalo is going to be good. Maybe not playoffs, because they're in a tough division. They're in that tough
and
Atlantic.
And they need goaltending. I know they signed...
Yeah.
Who did they sign? Scott Wedgwood, who played a little bit with Arizona.
Terrible.
Played a little bit with Arizona and L.A.
He's been a backup his whole career.
And then they signed Carter Hutton,
who's also kind of
a
backup.
So they're probably going to have some sort of tandem going on over there.
Yeah.
Over there.
And I know they're developing some prospects in Buffalo in the net. So when they come through, like they're going to be good when I envision the Flyers being really, really good. Now, I think the Flyers are going to be better this year than they were last year, simply just by adding JVR. And if you can trade Wayne Simmons for a roster player this year, I think you're in even better shape.
Right.
But in 2 years, and again, I'm not saying, oh, just wait, Flyers are going to be good in 2 years. Flyers are going to be good in 2 years. Flyers are going to be better this year. But in 2 years...
Right, because the whole two-year argument, we hear it all the time. They're 2 years away from being 2 years away. Like,
right. No, I'm not saying that. I have a specific reason in mind, and it's because in 2 years, I expect Carter Hart to be starting 60 games. And then you still have your Nolan Patricks and your Travis Konechnys and your Oscar Lindbloms. And even if Jake and Claude are getting a little old, you still have Travis Konechny, Travis Sanheim, Ivan Provorov, Shane Gostisbehere. You still have a very young core. And now you have a goalie, who the Flyers haven't had a goalie since Hextall.
Right.
Not really, right?
Not really, no.
John Van Beesbrook was fine. Brian Boucher was fine in his two stints here.
Right.
The Flyers haven't had a franchise goalie since the man in the GM's office played in the net. In the spectrum.
Right.
If Carter Hart is a franchise goaltender, the Flyers are going to be very good for the next decade.
Yes, they are.
Decade.
They still need, I still think they need another stud defenseman. And one guy that I really, 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 really wanted is not going to be available next free agency as I thought he was going to be. LA Kings locked up Drew Doughty.
Yeah,
Years, $88 million.
Yeah, he got the same deal Tavares got just for an extra year.
An extra year, right.
Because he re-signed.
Yeah.
So
he's...
If you guys weren't aware, when a free agent hits the market, a team can only offer them 7 years. But as part of an extension, a team can offer them 8 years.
Yep.
So Doughty got essentially the same contract Tavares did with an extra year at $11 million.
Correct.
How old is Doughty? Is he 29?
He might be. Hold on, let me check.
Because that's a long contract. That's a long, long contract.
He's 28.
So that contract's till he's 36?
Yeah.
Oof.
36-year-old player making $11 million.
$11 million. Now, yeah. And again, you expect the cap to go up. So, like...
Yeah.
$11 million now is not the same as $11 million will be in 7 years. But it still hurts.
Of course.
And if he doesn't retire, now I think he signed this deal kind of expecting to retire at 34, 35 and kind of cut the team loose a year or two early. But still, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. But that's somebody that
I would play even if I was only playing 6 minutes a game. If I'm making $11 million a year, I'll go out there and play 6 minutes a game.
I'll tie up the laces every few days.
I will coast through practice, play my 6 minutes, and cash my big fat checks.
I'm kind of surprised they gave him that type of deal.
Only
because I think that they're close to having to kind of move things around and start a rebuild. I mean, you have Dustin Brown, who's not getting any younger. Quick, not getting any younger.
I believe they just locked up Kopitar too, didn't they?
I didn't see that, no.
Or I think they're talking to Kopitar. I think he's also due for an extension. I think. I'm not actually positive. We're going to get that information for you, too. But, yeah, L.A., you would think that they'd be heading for a rebuild. They won their cup like 7 years ago.
Nah, he's on a long-term deal, but he signed it back in 2016.
Okay.
He's signed until 2024, $10 million
a year. Wow. So that's $21 million a year in two players.
Yep.
Kopitar and Doughty.
Correct.
That's a quarter of the cap in two players.
Yeah, and they could run into a problem that Chicago did.
Yeah, where you have Kane and Taves making like 30% of your cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chicago missed the playoffs this year.
They did.
L.A. snuck into the playoffs and got swept out in the first round.
Right. That's why giving him this deal shocked me a little bit.
This could backfire.
I really thought he was going to hit the free agent market, which is I really wanted the Flyers to be.
Yeah,
I'd be looking at Drew Doughty.
Nope.
He's a number one defenseman.
Okay, you're looking for a stud defenseman. You call Eugene Melnyk up in Ottawa.
No, because it'll cost you too much.
What do you offer him?
It'll cost you too much. Drew Doughty, you just have to pay money. You don't have to give anything up for him.
Yeah,
when he hit the market.
He wasn't going to hit the market.
I really thought he was going to.
No, you're not interested in trading for Carlson? You said they need another stud defenseman.
They do. First off, I like Drew Doughty's game better. He's more of a two-way guy.
Sure.
I like his physicality. Carlson, I think, will cost you too much. I think you'll have to give up multiple firsts. You'll have to give up multiple prospects, probably. You'll have to give up, like, two firsts, Sanheim, and, like, Myers or something.
See, it's hard to say that when the last time they traded a star player, it was for, like, a nothing prospect and a fourth. And I know that Carlson is better than Hoffman, but it might just be like Would you do that deal if it was Philippe Myers and a first?
For Carlson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that. If that's the price, and I don't know if it is, obviously. I don't know if that is,
because if it is, I think we would have seen a move already.
I think people are thinking what you're thinking, that the price is going to be too high. And it's going to take somebody coming in to really get the process going, right? Because once he has an offer, he has things to consider. I think if Ron Hextall calls him right now and says, Philippe Myers and a first for Carlson. Now, he might not say yes, but he might. There's a chance. Eugene Melnyk is really screwing things up in Ottawa.
Yeah, we also don't know. He might have sent a memo out to the league, you know, every GM, and said, hey, you know, Carlson's not moving for anything less than this, well, so don't even send me anything.
He also sent out a memo at the trade deadline that said he wasn't moving Hoffman for anything less than a blue chip prospect and a first round pick.
Right.
Things change.
Yeah, but I think it's a different situation.
If Erik Karlsson shows up to camp in Ottawa, I will be stunned.
I wouldn't be
stunned. Not because he holds out, because he's still on the roster.
No, I know. I wouldn't be stunned because...
I would be shocked.
No, I mean...
He doesn't want to be there.
I know he doesn't want to be there.
And the reason... I don't know if you've heard this. I think the reason he hasn't been moved yet is because they're demanding that whoever they trade with also take the contract of Bobby Ryan.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how long that's going to stick, but the reason he hasn't been moved yet...
What's Ryan's contract?
It's bad. Look it up. The reason he hasn't been moved yet, in my opinion, is that they're demanding that Bobby Ryan's contract go to, because it's not a good contract. Based on what Bobby Ryan's done...
7.25 for 4 years.
So, and pull up his stat line for me. Pull up Bobby Ryan's stats from this past year. Because Bobby Ryan hasn't been the same since he left Anaheim.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a bad contract. That's one of the worst contracts in the NHL. That's right up there with Andrew McDonald's contract. Yeah. And you know how I feel about Andrew McDonald's contract.
I know
contract.
How you feel about Andrew McDonald. But, hold on, I'm trying to... All right, so I'll go all the way back to 11-12 in Anaheim. 82 games, 57 points. So, okay.
Decent.
Nothing great. Then the year after that, still in Anaheim, he only played 46 games. Was that the lockout year? 12-13?
Yes.
46 games. It might have been the lockout year. 46 games, 30 points.
Fine.
It's okay. Then he goes to Ottawa.
Yeah.
70 games, 48 points.
Bad.
78 games, 54 points.
Not great.
81 games, 56 points.
Not great.
And then that's almost his career high.
Yeah.
56 points. It's like fourth best. But then after that, 62 games played, 25 points.
Yeah, that's bad.
Then he hit a wall.
That's bad.
Then this year, 62 games again, 33 points.
Yeah. Bobby Ryan is not a $7 million a year player.
Absolutely not, no.
Right. You talked about Jake being a little overpaid. Jake put up 80 points this year.
Right.
Right. So it's, I think that's the big stopping block in any sort of Carlson trade, is that they're trying really hard to unload this Ryan contract.
I don't know if that's
too
realistic, because you're taking on a guy like Erik Karlsson. He also comes with a pretty, you know, heavy cap hit.
And
so, I mean, how are you going to afford it?
And whoever gets him wants to re-sign him.
Right.
Right. It's not just a matter of getting Erik Karlsson for 1 year, because the Flyers could make that money work for 1 year. It's a matter of you want to re-sign him. And I think the Flyers are probably not realistically in the Carlson running because they don't want to re-sign him.
I don't, as much as people would want to re-sign him, I think Carlson's already come out and said,
He wants to hit the market.
I'm hitting the market. I'm going to get what I deserve.
Although, so, honestly, I think that's getting out of Ottawa more than anything.
Maybe.
Look at Ottawa, it's possible. Right now.
No, I know. Iowa's a dumpster fire.
Name three Senators players other than Erik Karlsson and Matt Duchene and Bobby Ryan.
Three Senators players? I can do this.
Okay, go.
Brady Tkachuk. Does that count?
No.
That doesn't count.
He hasn't played in... Okay. Three Senators players who have played a game in the NHL.
That have played a game in the NHL.
Other than Karlsson, Bobby Ryan, and Matt Duchene.
Thomas Chabot?
Sure. There's one.
All right. Hold on. You put me on the spot here. I can't do this. All right, I'm stumped.
Yeah, exactly. Cody Ceci is there. Yeah, okay, JD Pajot's still there, I think.
I try to avoid Ottawa at all costs.
Okay, now name three Rangers players.
Three Rangers players?
Yeah. It's much easier.
Yeah, but the Rangers are closer to us.
Okay.
That matters.
Name three LA Kings. They're not closer to us.
Yeah, I could do that.
Right. Name three Sharks. Sure. You could do that. Uh-huh. Name three Vegas Golden Knights. You could do that. Name three Dallas Stars.
Yep.
You could do that. No, I think if I discounted Sagan and Ben, you might not be able to do that.
Dallas? No, I could do Dallas.
Right. Senators are a train wreck. They are a train wreck. They are a dumpster fire.
Absolutely.
Like, nobody wants to stay there. The same reason Tavares left Long Island this year is the exact same reason Erik Karlsson is leaving Ottawa next year.
I disagree. Like, I think he's going to leave, but I disagree. It's the same reason.
No, Tavares was going to leave.
Yeah, yes.
Where he ended up was because he was going home and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I don't know if
Tavares... Erik Karlsson is leaving Ottawa.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Tavares... If Toronto wasn't interested or Toronto couldn't make the money work, I don't know if Tavares would have left.
He was gone.
I don't know.
Unless...
I think he's a loyal guy. I really do.
He would have gone to San Jose.
I don't buy it.
And he would have gone to Tampa.
I don't buy it.
If those two teams were out of the running, if the only teams bidding on Tavares were like your Carolinas and your Arizonas, okay, maybe he stays. But no.
I think he's a loyal guy.
He wants a ring.
Sure. But he wants a ring. I don't think this was him ring chasing. I really don't.
No, I don't think so either. I think, but if you look at the teams he had it narrowed down to, they were all contenders. It was the big five. It was the Islanders, which, I mean, that's the loyalty angle. Uh-huh. But then it was Toronto, Tampa, San Jose, and Dallas.
And no, Boston.
And Boston. Okay,
fine. I don't think Dallas was in. I think it was Boston.
Dallas was eliminated fairly late. They were in the top 10.
Oh, were they?
They weren't in the top five. They were in the top 10. And Boston. All of those teams, except New York, with the addition of John Tavares, are cup contenders.
Sure.
He wants a ring. Now, again, I'm not saying that because was the primary factor.
A place like Boston, you know, these good teams are a lot more attractive than going to an Arizona.
Exactly. So, again, I'm not saying it was his primary reason, but I think it was a factor.
Sure.
He wants a ring. There's a reason that only cup contenders were among the finalists.
But I think it's a different reason than Karlsson wanting to get out of Ottawa.
Karlsson just wants to go anywhere but Ottawa.
Get me the hell out of Ottawa. I don't care where it's at.
No, I just
get me the hell away from this organization. They might not even stay in Ottawa. Like they might.
They're not going anywhere.
Well, I think
the NHL will step in.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They did it in Arizona. And Arizona is not nearly as much a hockey market as Ottawa. I mean, you really think the NHL is going to let the team in Canada's capital move out? No chance.
It's not impossible. I think if Quebec loses a team, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities to say that.
I think Quebec's getting a team back at some point.
I mean, sure, but they still ended up losing a team.
Like, I understand.
It can happen.
I understand, but Canada's capital?
Sure.
There's no way. Anyway, I think that's actually about to wrap it up, right?
Yeah,
we talked about everything.
So.
We talked about Tavares. We talked about JVR to the Flyers and what that means for this team moving forward. I think the Flyers are... I think they make the second round and push that series to six or more.
Okay.
I don't think that's unrealistic.
I don't think it's unrealistic.
No, like, I don't.
I mean, I'll continue to say they need goaltending.
Right. I was going to say, I don't know.
Whether Elliott or, you know, one of those guys step up, or whether it is a Carter Hart that,
right,
you know, comes out. Of, I don't want to say comes out of nowhere because we expect him to be great.
Elliott can play good goaltending.
I think he's very inconsistent.
It's not that he's inconsistent. I think the Flyers coaching staff has to be careful not to run him into the ground. If he plays six good games in a row, don't stick with him for game seven just because he's playing well.
Right.
Be willing to go to the backup, whether it's Neuwirth or a Lion or a Stolarz or a Hart. Be willing to go to your backup. Be willing to give your star a rest. If the Flyers can do that, the Flyers can be a 100-point team this year.
You think so?
I think so. I think they can get through the first round. I think they can be in one of the divisional spots, top three in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can win the first round. And I think they can push the second round to six or seven games. Now, I don't know if they can make it over that hump. And I think that hump is going to depend on goaltending. But I think they can play in the second round next year.
Okay.
What do you think the Flyers do this year? And again, it's still early.
It's very early.
They still haven't traded Wayne Simmons. So that could change things. But what's your way too early prediction for the Flyers this year?
I agree with you. The second round exit.
Okay, a deep second round run.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, and then honestly, next year, I think you're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
And that's way too early.
Way too early. You don't know what the hell's going to happen there. You don't know who, you know, what defenseman they're going to sign.
The whole NHL is going to change. Right. They could sign Carlson in free agency.
You don't know what's going to go on in 2 years.
And you still got to lock up Konechny and Provorov.
Right.
But, all right. Now, we're going to do a little bit of Phillies before we get out of town here. Phillies had a decent week.
I mean, it was a rough week. They played a 3-game set with the Yankees and a 4-game set with the Nationals.
Yeah, that's a big week.
So they lost 2 of 3 to the Yanks, and then they took 3 of 4 against the Nationals.
Yep, and they are officially past the halfway point in their season. They won a big walk-off game on Sunday.
Yep, 13-inning game.
Gabe Kapler pitched Pivetta in the 13th and then took the risk of pinch hitting for him in the bottom of the 13th.
Right.
And the Phillies ended up winning the game on a walk-off home run.
Yeah. No, I think it made sense putting Pivetta in. I mean, he only pitched like 1 2/3 2 days before because he got lit up.
By the way,
in the 17-7 loss.
That was the Phillies' first walk-off home run since Ryan Howard.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Back in, I forget what year that 2013? Was. 2013? 13?
It's been a while.
It has been. That's insane.
It's insane. So the Phillies have a couple of off days this week. They're off today, day of recording, Monday. They're also off Thursday. So Gabe Kapler did a great job of using up his whole bullpen yesterday.
Right.
Knowing that there's a day off today and another day off on Thursday, he had no problem pulling Arrieta after 5. Gabe Kapler did a great job on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, after those rough series with the Yankees and the Nationals, and who else did they play? The Nationals also.
Yeah,
we
heard coming into this season that the first half was incredibly difficult.
After this, I mean, it gets easy. You play Baltimore, you play Pittsburgh, you play the Mets, the Marlins, the Padres. I mean, there's some
lower-end
teams there.
Now, we heard early on, before the season started, we heard that the first half was going to be tough. Phillies come out of the first half 8 games over .500.
Right.
You got to be a playoff team.
Yeah, they're in the conversation.
I'm feeling really good about my over 500 bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's been a while since we brought that up, Scott, but, you know, it's still a thing. So, you know, there's not too much to talk about with the Phillies again, but, all
right. Right now they're 3 games behind the Braves.
Yeah.
45 and 37.
With absolutely a ton of season left.
Of course.
So, all right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No. I mean, I think...
You talked about Doughty.
Yeah, I talked about Doughty. I wanted to cover that. But I think Aaron Nola is a Cy Young finalist by the end of the year.
Okay. At the halfway point, that's a good call.
Yep. He's a Cy Young finalist. But,
all right. Well, you guys can let us know what you think about John Tavares, about James Van Riemsdyk, about the rest of NHL free agency, and about the Phillies. Do you also think that Aaron Nola is a Cy Young candidate? You can let us know on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter at KCollington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and LastWordOnSports.com. Our logo is created for us by Ben at BennyTheJet55 or at FuzzForge. And until next week, I would say that's about it. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. You guys
get out of here.
Have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
I don't have the Corsi numbers in front of me.